This is a Deese World production in association with Pants Pending Studios.
Hey, what's going on? My name is Philip Kopczynski. You should listen to my podcast. It's called Phil Cops One-Offs, Small Town News, and interesting stories from interesting people, and then animal sexual behaviors. Did you know that a kangaroo will make two different types of milk? Did you know that a spider will break his dick off in a lady spider vagina? Did you know that a pig orgasm lasts for 30 full minutes? Did you know that a dolphin will bite an eel in half just to masturbate with its corpse? You can learn all that if you listen to Phil Cops One-Offs every Tuesday. You can find it on Spotify, iTunes, Google, the internet, dude, everywhere. If you connect to the cloud, if you talk to space with your phone, you can find my podcast. But you can also go to my website, Philip Cop Comedy. Please do it.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
It'll all be in my book, How to Get Rich Slowly, the Deese Casillas story.
Get ready for the social hour.
Live from Deese World Studios in Spokane, Washington, this is The Social Hour. On today's show, from Shades of Me, artist Brittany Trambitis, with Sophie Tomey on the news, and now your host. They say art imitates life, so his art must really want a drink. Deese Casillas.
Mahlob Keen, everyone, welcome to the show. This is The Social Hour. I am Deese. Thank you for coming around for another episode. With me, as always, Sophie Tomey. Sophie, how you doing?
Fantastic.
Yeah, are you?
Mm-hmm.
You doing good?
Yes.
Even though you were tardy?
No, you aren't really late.
Rude. That's okay. It's okay because you're here and Jeremy's not even here again. Jeremy out this week again. He has it doesn't matter what he is. He's not here. He'll be back next week. But in the house, we do have artist Brittany Trambitis. Am I pronouncing that correctly,
you
Brittany?
You said my name right.
All right. Yeah. There we go. Luckily, standing ovation for Brittany. Thank you for coming. Appreciate you coming.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. We're excited to have you here. Brittany is a part of the Shades of Me art collection, as well as doing other stuff. Diva, a friend of mine, was on the show a couple weeks ago, and she was telling us about some of the people in the art collective. So we wanted to have some of the other people on. And so Brittany's here.
Hello.
Yes. So we're going to talk to her about all about that and what she has coming up here soon. Real quickly, I just want to go over how was everyone's fourth? I guess I know how Sophie's fourth was. We spent the fourth together. So I saw you on the fourth.
Don't sound so disappointed about it.
I see you every day. Brittany, how was your fourth?
It was good. It's just another day.
Laundry. You don't need nothing. No, just laundry. Just washing all your American flag garments.
My American flag thong. I made sure that it was pristine.
There you go. Iron it. Get the crisp laundry.
It was definitely a regular day. We cooked.
We cooked. All right.
People
that's good.
Eat right on the front.
Usually, yeah. I think that's part of it.
We ate.
What'd you eat? What'd you eat? Anything special? Like, did you barbecue or just another day?
We did a little bit of a barbecue. Okay. Nothing fancy. Honestly. Yeah. Hot dogs.
Yeah, that's fine. And that's burgers. Fine. It's just another day. I did find this out because I was, if you guys remember last episode, I was talking about how this craziness of people dressing up in American flag themed clothing, which is absurd to me. It seems absurd to me. I get patriotism, but like you can't be a patriot and also wear the flag, like have it on your taint. Like you have to pick
no.
one. You can't. No. You can't do both those things. It seems contradictory in this broadcaster's eyes. But maybe I'm wrong. Although I did find out that actually it is federally illegal to wear
it is.
American flag it is patterned clothing. It is illegal.
What?
Yes, it is on the books a law that it is illegal to wear American flag themed clothing. And it is crazy. You go to any Walmart and they're like, they're just, and I personally, I don't, because I'm better than you guys. Not you guys in this room, just in general. I just don't go. But like anywhere you go, like Old Navy, they had like, yeah. It's like American flag cargo shorts, you
shoes,
know, $5.
Necklaces,
it's like,
it's everything.
That's
how did they
insane.
Get away with that?
Probably because they don't, at the end of the day, it's like, they're probably like, fucking who cares? We're better than everyone anyway.
It's particularly hilarious because of that police officer who came up with the shoe. You know what I'm talking about? The shoe.
Which no, I don't. I don't
yes,
do.
they partnered with this police officer and he came up with this ridiculous shoe. It's like it. You know, you see like the blue and black police
flag
shit.
Theme. Yeah,
he
okay.
put it on a shoe, and
okay.
everybody's really excited about it. But right. I'm like, well, that's. illegal. Yeah. And also it sucks.
Yeah.
So
I
yeah.
I maybe it's a self-esteem thing. Like but I don't even like I am a huge Lakers fan. I grew up in the 80s in LA. I'm a Lakers guy, right? Like you guys see in the corner of I have that Lakers hoodie. I have never worn that thing once because like I don't feel like I can even wear like I don't have the self-esteem to wear a logo of a team I like a lot, let alone a country I live yeah. in. Like, and also, like, who fucking... The idea that we're, like, wrapped up... Like, I get appreciating some of the things we have in this country that other people don't have. Mm-hmm. But the idea that we're like, the flag, like, that's some drunk bitch in the 1800s made this thing. We're like, who is she?
Exactly.
She probably died of syphilis. Like, who cares? Like, I don't know. I'm not that concerned about the flag itself. Seems like a ridiculous thing to adhere to that we like. Yes. It's this almost like a weird... It's archaic, really. I think so. But.
Yes, it's archaic. And also, the fine folks of Spokane, I feel like, have resorted to flying the American flag instead of just outright, you know, having the Confederate flag because they're scared for that.
Sure.
So it's a little weird here in Spokane as a person of color because it's like you see this dude with a giant truck and he has, like, this massive American flag
yeah.
on the back of the truck. And it's like, okay, so you're just... You don't want to fly the Confederate flag
right.
anymore, but you want to let
yeah.
us know.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to let everybody
God.
Know.
You know, that's so true. Because in that guy's heart, that's a Confederate flag. You know
oh,
that's
it
true.
It is. Exactly.
Like, anyone who's
exactly
that
true.
Committed is like, listen here, guys. this is like, well, not quite your country. Well, you know, I've got a great shirt. I actually wore it for most of 4th of July, but it's like, it's got an upside down American flag on. It's like, no one is illegal on stolen ground.
Yes,
and which is one of my favorite shirts to wear to stir up controversy, especially
in
America.
Some
a little bit, especially on the 4th of July. but I mean, it's, you know, I mean, it's crazy to me. But you are absolutely right. It's so funny that the people who are that like it's really an insecurity. It's an insecurity
yes.
being like, I have to let you know how American I am. It's like, dude, we all like no one's driving around being like, am I in Canada right now? Oh no, that's an American flag on a truck. I'm still in America. Okay, cool. Like we know where we're at. We're all like. What are you trying to prove?
Exactly. You didn't see this before this specific presidency.
No, certainly not as
not
rampantly.
Rampant, yeah.
Not as rampantly. Yeah.
Crazy.
I mean, there were times. God, I was in. Sophie, were you with? No, you weren't. It was Tony and I and Michael, a couple comics. We did a show down in Tico, Washington, which is a tiny little town, just about halfway between Spokane and Pullman.
Tico.
Yeah, and it's a tiny little town. Towns like that are kind of cool to do comedy in because they pay you well. Mm-hmm. Everyone comes out, they get hammered, they have a good time, like, and they're usually on board for anything. Sometimes not political stuff, obviously. But we're standing in, like, Tony and I, you know, like, I'm Mexican, Tony's Korean, right? And we're, like, standing there in this middle street, and we're, like, looking around. And I look up and down, the street's literally, like, the town is, like, 6 blocks long, if that, maybe 4. And we're standing dead in the middle, and I look one way, and I look the other way, And I just start looking around and I'm like, Tony, I go, count how many American flags you see.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And I think we got up to like 19 on like four city blocks.
Wow.
And I'm like, how many do you need? Like, I get one on your town hall or whatever the hell, your local fucking ice cream shop or whatever the hell you have, whatever your point of interest is in Tico, Washington. But, like, there were literally, like, 19 of them going, holy shit, this is insane. Like, this is like that old episode of The Twilight Zone where the guy wakes up and realizes he's in Nazi Germany. He's looking down and starts seeing all the Nazi flags rolled out. I'm like, this is scary almost. Like, why?
Yes, too many.
Yeah. At a certain point, like, thou doth protest too much. Like, what is happening here? Yeah, so the level of patriotism has gotten insane to me. Like I don't know, even that, like, I never even really cared about I'm probably because I don't care about holidays in general. They're just kind of days. To me, I like them because they're days off. Mm-hmm. They're days where everything's closed and no one's really doing things, so I literally can't do things, which is great, because otherwise I just am doing a million things. So it's nice to actually have a day where I'm like, no, you can't do shit. I'm like, oh, perfect. I love it. So nothing special. You just, you had your American flag thong on and made some hot dogs.
My favorite thing about July 4th, this is terrible, is when my clients ask me what I'm doing for July 4th, and I could be like, oh, nothing, regular, but then I like to get a little snarky, a little smartass, stir the pot a little, and say things like, you know, it's kind of a bogus holiday. People get really upset about it. and then I say, you know what people should really also celebrate is Juneteenth. And then everybody, because it's Spokane, they ask me what that is. What is Juneteenth? And so that's like a fun conversation. It's like a way for me to educate people and also be a bitch.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. But they don't know. They don't know I'm being a bitch. Right?
No, right. Just, yeah. They just slide it in there. It is. Spokane's a weird place because I moved here 10 years ago from L.A. And I... very confused. Now it's grown and things have changed a little bit since I moved here. Not a ton.
When did you say that you got here?
10 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, things move slowly in Spokane.
I'm from here.
You're from here. Okay. Aware. So how old are you, if I can ask?
I'm 31.
Okay. So, yes, I mean, they move slowly, but things have changed a little.
Yes.
I will say that. But one of my favorite jokes to say, I really can only say it in Spokane because people get it, but half the crowd doesn't get it or doesn't want to. But it's like, Spokane is a weird place because we are the type of community that argues over whether we should call it Columbus Day or Indigenous People's Day, but we still have a baseball team named the Indians.
Yes,
exactly. and I'm like, you gotta pick a side of that, man. You can't do both those things. Like, yeah, we'll talk about it at Chiefs game. Come on, like, this is very confusing. where I'm not sure where you guys sit on things. It is odd because I see this shift of younger and some more culture and things like that, kind of slowly. But man, that older generation with the money and stuff and just hanging their death grip on
death
it.
Grip.
On, they won't let it go. God forbid Spokane become a real city.
Yeah, they have quite a death grip on the urban development. For
It's so you grew up here.
Yes.
In 31. So is it your whole life here?
Yes.
You like it?
I mean,
parts, right?
Parts. I mean, the same things that I can say that I really like about Spokane might also be the things that I dislike about it.
That's fair. Yeah. What, like what?
I like the little small city traditions that Spokane has.
Like the lilac parade or something?
Sure,
or okay.
Sure. No, random traditional shit that's not very good, actually, but it's like it makes you feel like you're part
of
the
general community. It's like nostalgic or something.
It's nostalgic, sure. Exactly. But then at the same time, I've always been bothered, but for me, I've been most bothered in the 7 years that my son's been alive because, I don't know, sometimes it's super, it's weird, like, okay, I've been here, I'll be here, and then you think about raising a child here, sure. more specifically a child of color, mm-hmm. then you get a little weird yeah. about it. So it's like I can say that I'm glad about the things that have grown and changed about Spokane, but Spokane is still just like really full of shit.
Yeah, so. Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's the thing that's unfortunate is I think there are some really good people
yes.
in Spokane, yeah. but I think there's a lot of disingenuous activism in Spokane.
I love that you just said that so much. I really do.
Have you experienced that? I assume is that kind of the.
It's one thing and not the other. It's not as a whole. It's like this. You pick off the menu what you want to be uproarious about.
Sure. Convenient.
And then ignore everything else.
Right.
Yeah, conveniently.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it stems from people wanting to more so appear that they're on the right side of things than actually do things.
Yeah.
I have that conversation a lot with people when they start talking about, you know, we'll just say broad spectrum things that matter. And I'm like, okay. They're like, kind of matters. Say something. I'm like, okay. Then what? Now what? Or like, and mm-hmm. like, what is the next step? It's like, okay, that sucks. Like, yeah, that sucked for a long time. Like, so what's the next plan? Like, it's just not right. I'm like, and
oh, this is my life. I do 4-10s in the salon. I have anywhere from 6 to 8 women or men in my chair. And that's like the theme of the day.
Yeah.
Like, because it's the salon chair, right? So you unload your whole fucking life.
Sure, yeah,
in
yeah.
my ears.
Especially
and
if you
fine.
Have clients you've had forever.
It's
yeah,
it's but yeah,
part of the gig. You're like armchair psychiatrist.
But the funniest part about it is my clients are on a schedule from 6 to 8 weeks at any given time, so I get to see them. That doesn't sound like a lot for most people, but for me it is. And so we have the same conversations with every 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
And just in general, it's like the same complaint and no like real idea as to how to change it. The catchphrase that I get to hear a lot is, but you know, what do you do? I don't have an answer. Do you have an answer?
I guess fucking nothing. We just
right?
you know, keep drinking to forget. I don't know.
And they do drink. My salon serves beer and wine.
What?
So they are
where
drinking.
Do you,
yeah.
where, yeah. are you allowed to say where you work? Can, yeah. Do you feel like you don't
so,
have to?
Oh, no, I'm cool. So I work at Urbana Salon.
Okay.
It is downtown. It's right by the Starbucks 7-Eleven right there on Division and Second.
Oh yeah, yeah.
A little bit further down, but yeah. Yes,
you do guys' hair?
I do.
What can you do with this?
I mean, it looks like you just got a haircut.
I did. So. But like, I'm thinking of changing it up. What should I do?
Listen, I do not. I have instructed the front desk not to give me any more men's cuts. But
oh, I
I'll
see.
Take
no,
you.
All right,
I'll take
okay,
you, so you can
oh,
come
okay.
On in. Yeah,
I feel special. I get the end. They're like, listen, she said, Brittany should be like. Come on back.
Come on back.
yes, I mean it is. It's a weird. I moved here and it was like for me. I moved here and I lived in the East Central area when I first moved here, mm-hmm. and people are like, "Oh man, that's." They're like, "I didn't know it. I didn't know anyone when I moved. I literally knew no one when I moved to Spokane, right?" Mm-hmm. And I didn't plan on staying here long. I signed an 8-month lease on a house over there. And people are like, oh man, you live in the hood. I'm like, dude, I grew up in the east side of Long Beach in the 80s. This is not the fucking hood. I'm
people,
like, this, like,
like
I'm
to like, say that around yeah. here. It's this area is the ghetto. Yeah. This area is the hood.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, where I grew up, everyone was shooting each other, selling drugs, and cops were beating up people, and I couldn't yeah. sleep at night because exactly. the ghetto bird was over my house all the time. Like, this is pretty nice.
Exactly.
I'm like, it's old. It's kind of run down.
Cue the Spokompton name.
Yeah.
I'm like, guys, really?
I'm like, that okay. is adorable.
I it's would cute, like, right? Yeah. yeah.
it's like things have changed a little, but man, I really want to see... Spokane kind of, I mean, we're the second biggest city in Washington State, but it super doesn't feel like it when you're here.
No.
You know, it feels like, you know, because we're, I always like to say we're like a big city trapped in like a small cities
yes.
or we're like a small city mentality in a big city.
Exactly.
You know, but things like doing the arts and stuff like that, that's mm-hmm. got to be, I mean, how does it feel in that community when you're out there doing that stuff? Does it feel like it's growing, going the right direction?
So, yeah, this is where I'm really a newbie in this area. I've been painting for 15 plus years.
Okay.
Drawing, painting, sketching, all that fun stuff. I've only been publicly showing my art and doing these shows with Diva and Shades since April. So
okay.
I'm on the, like, learning curve here.
Sure.
So it's been interesting to figure out how these things work. I mean, I'm not even really sure how to describe that, but it's I'm learning as I go. The art community is good. It's nice. It's fun, but it is also really clicky and closed off. And I mean, there's not, I'm still learning, honestly.
Sure.
Every time we do a show, I learn something else. I learn about people's reactions to not only my personal art, but to my fellow artists' art, to the fact that we are a grouping of art people and we're all brown. that's the funnest one. People react to that the strangest. But
they're all in one place.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm still learning.
Sure. How's the reaction for your art been? We're looking at some of it right now.
It's good. It's fun. I realized I don't paint roosters, which nothing against sure. that, but my stuff is not necessarily
fuck roosters.
My stuff is not like, you know, I'm painting this to sell a bunch of prints of it. It's not. Yeah. It's just literally whatever the fuck I felt like painting that day. So I'm not really in the realm of painting things because I think they're going to sell to somebody, and I probably won't ever be.
Yeah.
So that puts me in a completely different art category. So I'll probably never do like Art Fest, you know, in Coeur d'Alene Park, for instance. I'm not really looking to reproduce my art on a printing scale to where it's in everybody's house either.
Sure.
So that was something for me to learn too. I'm really happy, I'm going to say. So when I had the choice to go to school for whatever I wanted to go to school for, it was between art, it was between hair. And I just kind of decided that I didn't really want to ever have to rely financially on my art.
Sure.
So I was like, all right, hair, you know, hair's
it's
cool.
More consistent doing hair.
It's consistent.
At least,
so. And I will say that if I would have taken way more personally people's, although it's been positive, I would have taken way more personally people's opinions of my art when I was 18 and 19 than when I'm 31 now.
Yeah.
So I'm super glad that this is the time that I'm actually publicly, because I don't give a fuck. If
yeah.
you don't like it,
yeah.
it's fine. If you want to buy it, buy it. If you don't.
It's almost better that you're doing it for you and you're securing it. You know, you also know yourself. That's one of the things I often tell young comics who are starting. I'm like, there's ups and downs with it. I mean, I've been doing comedy in some form or fashion for 10 years now. There's ups and downs. Mm-hmm. But when, you know, I couldn't imagine being, you know, I'm 36 now. I couldn't imagine being 21 or like people who are like that old doing comedy where you barely know yourself and you're trying to navigate this. Like, it's such a big difference when you're like, me personally, I'm like, I'm pretty solid in my opinions.
Yeah.
I don't really fucking care what anyone else thinks.
Yes.
And I know what I know my voice and what I want to do. And that's like a very nice thing when you're doing your art, because you're able to just do what you want to do. But I think the point I was trying to make was that for you, although you don't want to produce on a print scale and things like that, it's almost might be better because your art is very personal and for you. So it's not, you're putting your passion into it, so someone might reflect better to a person because it's natural instead of like selling or painting to sell.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
It does make sense, and I'm comfortable. I've been doing hair for over 12 years now, so I'm set in my, you know, whatever your daytime job or your daytime career. So this is just fun for me. So anything that I do regarding my art, it's just.
Have
fun.
You sold any?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, see, how'd it feel? Yes. How'd it feel when you sold the first one?
It was nice. And well, and it wasn't just like I like that, I want to buy it. People are like cool about being like, okay, this is why I like that. This is why I'm buying it.
So oh, I'm sure.
I like that. I'm not a good explainer as to why I paint the things that I paint. So I like it when other people look at it, they see something that they like, and then they want to buy it. So, cause I don't want to explain it to you. So
was it hard to part with your first piece? Is it hard to let them go?
Okay. So this is funny. It wasn't hard to part with my first piece that I sold, but the piece that everybody loves and everybody wants, I show it everywhere I go, but there's no price tag because I don't think that I'm ever going to sell the original, but it's the one piece that everybody wants. So I am actually going to make a few prints of that one.
All right.
I might make a t-shirt or two.
Is it on your Facebook page?
Yes, it is. my green her technical name is Ethereal. Everybody calls her the Green Lady.
Okay. Oh, with the pink hair?
She's very stunning in person.
I'm going to see.
Very stunning, very detailed. I'm terrible. So here's another thing. I'm terrible at taking pictures of my art. It's so bad.
But this one?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So
if you put that on a shirt, I will buy one.
Would you really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Listen, I was just
by the way, I know someone who does shirts. If you
do
need
you?
To get,
okay.
Yeah, they do my shirts. So I will hook you up
this
if you
with
need.
My family, and I kind of was like, nobody, like, I'm going to get girl shirts because I don't think any guy's going to want to wear that. But that, thank you.
I'd wear that.
Okay.
That's dope.
I'm happy about it. Yeah. So this is the thing that it's literally the only piece that I've ever painted that for whatever the hell reason I'm having a hard time letting go of. So
was this a person? Yeah. You said you painted was this originally a person you painted?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not
I thought
all.
You meant this. Was, I thought, yeah, I thought I misheard you then. Okay.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. No. Yeah, no, it's not. It's so strange. I can't even explain it. I don't know why.
I'll show Sophie a
She's
couple
all
of pieces.
Extra.
Yeah, I went down to your Instagram and I really...
That one's fun. She's basically a build off of my Green Lady. So she's like a...
Yeah, I could see... You
yeah,
could see
born,
some of the...
Born from her, kind of. But yeah.
Similarities.
Yeah. So...
that's kind of fun. The
Yeah, that was fun. That was our first art show. We were at the women's show at the fairgrounds. It was... super strange, but it was a good experience. Aside from the fact that our actual placement in that show was very awkward, people's reactions was really cool. So
Diva was talking about that too, like people just saying things that like they kind of meant as like a good thing, but then it just came across as like
so like backhanded compliments. Yeah,
sure. Accomplissant.
Not only that, but guys, I can't even really explain it. It was so super weird. Everything was weird, from people being offended to the way that we were set at the fair, like where we were, like our position, to people like not wanting to like walk in once they realized that there was no like white artists. It was so
just
weird.
Just a weird scenario all around.
Scenario. But that's okay because we were all like teamed up and together and supporting each other. And by the time, because we were there for 2 whole days, and by the time Sunday got there, our section was the most, you know, it was the fullest section in the whole fair. So it was a really good learning experience for us to figure out what spaces are appropriate for us to be, and just general, you know, reaction. Because a lot of those people a lot of the fellow artists that I was with, that was like their first show.
Yeah. So it was a weird experience, I'm sure.
So weird.
If you do want to see Brittany's art, guys, be sure you can start checking it out us, not only on her Facebook page, Instagram, etc., but starting in October, or I'm sorry, August, I'm jumping ahead this year. Starting in August, she will be the featured artist at Andy's Bar at 1401 West 1st Avenue, starting on the first Friday, the 2nd, August 2nd, and going all through the month, and also September 15th at Wiley's. So be sure and check those out.
Thank you.
What medium do you paint in?
So I mainly, when I'm painting, I'm mainly doing acrylic. Mm-hmm. I do sketch work too. Some of my stuff is like mixed medium, but I love acrylic. It's what I work with the most.
What, now you've been painting, you said forever, like
forever.
18 years, something like that. When did you start? Why? What was the, like, did you, like, was there just an inspirational art teacher in junior high or what?
I did have a very inspirational art teacher in like 9th grade. For a couple of years, but no, I mean, I painted even before. I think this is super cheesy. So, do you guys remember David's Bridal used to be where the Nectar is downtown? So it's right across from sushi.com.
I know where that is. I don't remember when it was there, but
yes, it's forever ago. So I'm like, you know, 10, you know, sketching out these wedding dresses and mailing them to David's Bridal. Thinking that they're gonna like take, you know, my design seriously, and my mom was, she was encouraging. She's like,
"That's great,
that's
though."
So sweet. And she's like, you know, she tried to like pat it, like, "Okay, that's really nice, but like, don't expect them to respond." And they did. Like, they wrote me a letter saying they loved it and to send them more, and they would like hang them on the walls. And these are like,
that's
really
awesome,
amateur. You know what I mean? But it's just like it's always been an outlet for me. My first 3 years that I was doing hair, I was so busy. I'm trying to build my clientele and I was exhausted. So I kind of like, I abandoned painting and drawing for a little while there, but I got back into it. It's like, I don't know, it's a creative outlet.
Yeah. So. Did you find that in the time of not doing it for a while was difficult to get back into it, or like I feel like it's one of those things, like it comes back fast when you do it regularly.
Yeah.
But yeah. It takes a while to kind of get, you know, when your first one back, you're like, God, maybe I should just quit. Like, I mean, I know for you.
I don't feel that way. I feel like I thought about it a lot and I was like, okay, go buy a drawing pad and start drawing again.
Yeah.
And I just was like, yeah, I'm going to do that. And then like, you know, a month goes by. Yeah, I'm going to do that. And then you just don't. But once I did actually put, you know, pencil and a brush to paper again, it was pretty easy. Yeah.
So now that you're doing this probably more regularly and feel a little more inclined to do it regularly, is how do you feel about your day job? Do you feel like there's that turn of like, oh man, I like this art thing more? Or I mean,
Know. So the one thing I will say is while I was abandoning my artwork, I really have been able, and it sounds super cheesy, but I really have been able to see somebody's hair as some artwork.
Well, sure. So, that's a different. Yeah.
Not to toot my own horn, but I'm fantastic.
Well, I'll be the judge of that when I come in there and see what you do.
Well, I mean, you can say that, but no, I love color. I love color.
Sure.
So, and I do the most difficult things. Like when somebody goes and gets their hair screwed up, I fix that.
Yeah.
And so I was able for a long time to express myself that way. It's not the same.
Yeah.
And so I'll be honest about that. Ever since I've started doing these shows with Diva and being around all these inspirational artists and kind of getting into that world, sometimes I'm like, okay, I could do hair like one or two days a week and just paint the rest of the time. So, yeah. Absolutely.
I think, and this is something that a comic said to me years ago, and I've definitely passed on a newer comic. Sophie can probably attest to feeling this way also, is that the more you do comedy, the longer you do it and the more often you do it, the less you care about like real life. And I think it's, I'm just trying to figure out if that's the same. I assume it's the same with other art. Mm-hmm. Like it's the type of person that does any type of art. If they're really into it, the rest of life becomes like, you're just like it's just time in between doing your art. It's just like I need like things you're doing before you get to do your art again.
I could see that. Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm happy to have that type of passion for it. Reborn in a sense. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. How much time in a week do you spend painting?
So I'll be honest here. I get to the salon at like 8:45 every day. I might leave on a regular day, 8 to 8:15.
Yeah.
I have nothing. I have nothing left when I get off. I have enough left to come home and hang out with my family and my baby and put him to bed, and that's it.
Yeah.
So, and I felt really bad about that for a while, but now I'm like, no. So I try to do a little bit on my days off. That's like, it's my days off, but
yeah.
I do 4/10, so I get 3 days off, so I work it in where I can, but I also don't force it because I can't do that. So I'm still working on that. So I paint on weekends is the easy answer there.
How long does your average piece take you?
Ooh, 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay, that's pretty good turnaround, huh? Right? Is that good?
Here's the thing, and that's another thing that I experienced when I was kind of out doing these shows with other artists. I don't have high productivity, I guess you would say, because I do spend more time on my pieces. They're pretty detailed. So, and then again, that's another thing I felt super weird about. We'll go to a show and do a booth, and I'll have 5 pieces.
Yeah.
You know, next to my fellow artist who has like 90. But then I realized, like, no, there's like a novelty. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's your own pace. Make it work.
It's my own pace. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Brittany, we're going to play a game real quick.
Okay.
Every new guest, we subject them to a segment we call the Rundown.
Okay.
The Rundown is a series of questions which we have compiled over the years. Individually, they don't say a lot, but together, it's kind of an algorithm. Just says something about someone.
Okay.
All right. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Okay. So, and please answer honestly.
Okay.
there's a polygraph on that chair, so if you answer incorrectly, you'll hear the buzzer.
Okay.
Celebrity president. If you could pick any celebrity to be the president, who would it be?
Any celebrity president.
Yes.
Kendrick Lamar.
Kendrick Lamar. Why Kendrick Lamar?
I don't know. I like the raw insight.
All right.
I like the hard edge there and the realism. And I don't know. I think he's just a super insightful, smart person.
Is he the best rapper right now?
One of, yeah.
Okay. Who else is, who else?
You got, right now?
Yeah,
the best
yeah.
Rapper
yeah,
right
yeah.
now.
Right now.
Oh, that's a rude question for you to ask me. Oh my God. I have so much music on my playlist. I don't even know who else to say the best rapper right now. Anderson .Paak. Can you count him as rap?
Here's the deal. I stopped consuming music like 8 years ago, so
you
I don't
did? That's,
know.
That's depressing.
I know.
For you.
Yeah. But like, here's my thing, and this is super cynical of me. I love hip hop. I grew up in hip hop.
Yeah.
I grew up in Long Beach, and I grew up in the same neighborhood like Snoop Dogg grew up in. Like that's
okay.
where it's, I
yeah.
fucking love that
yeah.
music. So
yeah.
I'm like, eh.
You
nothing's
feel,
gonna be better
no,
than what I what I got.
It, we're in a wave where a lot of people are terrible. So it's
the I mean, there's I like little things. I feel like if it's good enough, I'll hear it. I'll
yes.
find it.
Yeah.
You know, like I did Kendrick, and there's some other guys out there that I've heard people have passed my way. But like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I'm like, nah, I can just listen to my classics, and I'll be fine. But
you would be fine.
Yeah,
that's true.
So I always wonder if anyone has like, hey, listen to this.
It, well,
so.
It's not fair because I have a list of like 10. So, and I, yeah.
First three that come to mind.
Nope. I can't
oh,
answer that.
All right. If you met aliens, how would you describe humans to them?
Oh, not positively, which is terrible. and that's not fair to ask me. I hate humans right now.
Just right now?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. No, all the time. How would I describe humans to an alien? Indecisive, overly emotional, selfish. Oh, nice sometimes.
Okay. There you go. Oh, if you could purge for 1 hour, like the movie The Purge, you could do anything.
Kay.
Anything's legal, no repercussions.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do?
Are you asking me who I would kill? I mean,
hey,
is that the
listen,
question?
Listen, that's I feel like you're going to tell me right now who you're going to kill. That's.
You know what? For the sake of not putting shitty stuff out into the universe, I would, let's see, purge. I would kidnap our entire administration,
mm-hmm.
and I would set
mm-hmm.
them off on some other island.
Perfect.
Right? I'd be civil about it. I won't murder them, but they would disappear.
They'd be gone.
Sure. They'd
yeah.
be gone.
Somewhere,
oh,
somewhere
Tommy
without
Loren.
Any power, like Puerto Rico.
I might have Tommy Loren killed. Though.
That's okay.
So, I'm sorry. I had to say that.
What fucking? What did she say the other day that
I
like
hate her
blew
so
my
much.
Mind? Oh my God! It's.
I forgot she was still a thing.
Oh, she's,
yeah.
She's quite a thing
yeah.
still. Unfortunately,
I'm really glad that I like somewhere around like 4 years ago I like just stopped consuming news.
That's probably good for your mental health.
And,
good for you.
I haven't had TV in like over a decade. So I just
yeah.
don't watch TV. And you know, I have the internet, but like, I don't know. I stopped going on news sites. I stopped. I like, I don't care.
You're saving
like,
yourself.
I don't want to know. Like I feel like if it's important enough, like if the purge is going to happen, someone will tell me, I hope. But otherwise I'm like, yeah, fucking, it's always bad. It's
yeah.
always bad. It's just
yeah.
like, yeah, what's wrong closest to you is the news.
Yes.
So, all right. What is your go-to karaoke song?
Ooh, I generally do Tracy Chapman, Give Me One Reason. That's
mm-hmm.
my go-to. Yeah.
That's it?
No, I'll do Bobby Brown, Don't Be Cruel. That's
okay, okay.
Tune. I have a couple.
All right. Those are all good, all good. What is a guilty pleasure song of yours?
Oh,
now, guilty pleasure song is like when you're driving down the road, volume up, but the windows go up.
Oh,
like if you pull up
okay.
to a bus stop and
uh-huh.
there's people there, you roll your windows up because you don't want them to hear you listen
pretty
to that
much
song.
Any song on Lil Jon's Crunk album.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's that. I think you just nailed that question perfectly. God damn. So, like, takes me back to like that would have been somewhere around 2003 probably. Yes. I think that was somewhere in that area. Wow. It's good times. Good times for Deese back in 2003. All right. If you could get rid of any state in America, which state and why?
Oh god, that's rude. I'd get rid of like 6. I can't get rid of Idaho because I love Coeur d'Alene. That's so rude. No, I can't. I mean, I can't even pick. That's terrible. Because there's the best and the worst of the states that I would I'd get rid of parts of Idaho.
Parts
Is
of
that,
Idaho.
Can I say that?
Just like everything north of Coeur d'Alene.
Sure.
That's it is like its own weird country. All right. If you could have any, if you could only have one pizza for the rest of your life,
okay,
not necessarily a brand, just toppings.
Okay,
you can have any toppings you want, but now that's the only pizza you can have for the rest of your life.
I'm gonna get shit for this. Hawaiian.
All right. All right. Is that because? All right. Cancel. All right. Turn off the. Shut it down. All right. No, I am not one of those people who is fanatical about like pineapple does not belong. This is America. We are a Christian household. Like it's fine. It's not for me.
Okay.
It's not my taste. But I get it. And we can't have pizza together.
I'm sorry.
I'm not big on like Canadian bacon, but I like pepperoni and pineapple. Mm-hmm. That's
okay. Mm-hmm. I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I do get. I'll be honest. It is like that's like my guilty pleasure of pizza. Every now and then, I'm like, I'll have a slice and be like, all right,
put some goddamn pineapple.
And then I'm like, all right, I gotta go. The let's see. I'm weird because I just want like I want sausage and jalapenos.
Jalapenos, yeah.
That's my weird. That's my pizza. All right. Let's how weird do we want this to get? Oh, this is one of my favorite ones actually. Because everyone always feels bad.
God.
Everyone always feels
God.
Bad afterwards.
Okay.
If you had to kill one endangered animal, which would it be and why? No, it's not even go with why, just which would it be?
God, I would have to know all of the endangered animals to answer this question.
The internet in front of me.
Let me see. Endangered animal? That's terrible.
Let me name a couple.
Okay.
There is the sea turtle.
Oh,
the elephant, the tiger, rhinos, pangolins, which looks like an armadillo.
Okay.
There's some sharks, manta rays. This just says all types. This isn't. As
this is so rude. I am a really big animal lover, so this is. Like
me too. That's
question.
Why this question's terrible.
The armadillo thing. Whatever.
Okay.
You just said. Yeah.
fuck that guy. I mean, I love animals, but fuck that armadillo. I love how you were so he's like instantly about like listen, it's really difficult, but I would fucking kill that. Now we're gonna go on the every now and then I like to turn it around for the guests where you guys get to ask us one question. You guys to ask us one question,
nice.
And we have to answer honestly also.
Okay. Am I going right now?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. One question. What is the joke that you tell when you're working that you know is going to get people to walk out?
That I tell?
Yeah.
Well... Did I tell regularly or the one
sure.
that I save for when I want people to walk
the,
out?
The one you say when you would like people to leave.
Okay. So I'll tell this story because this is probably the best worst one.
Okay.
There's not a couple years ago, two of my good friends in comedy, Tom Meisberg and Steve Johnson, we were at the comedy club on an open mic and Steve leans over to us and he goes, "Burn the room." And we're like, which means you close your set with the worst joke you can tell.
Okay.
Just like this, the most terrible joke you can tell.
Oh, not offensive, but just bad.
No, no, offensive. Like, okay. Offensive. You're burn. Okay. You're basically burn the room, meaning no comic can recover from that after you. And it has to be your joke. Mm-hmm. And Tom went up. He had a good joke. It was something to the effect of, at Castle Superstore, he's looking for butt plugs, and he asked the clerk, he's like, where do you keep the children's sizes?
Oh,
I'm like, pretty good, pretty good. mine, which I don't remember what Steve's was, but mine is, what do you call a school of dead fish? A Columbine. And then I just go, "Good night, folks." and I hear Tom just die. And Steve's like, "Deez wins." He's sitting in the crowd.
Awful.
It's a terrible joke.
Terrible.
It's a terrible joke. So I don't ever tell that one in my set. Like, that's not a joke I ever tell in my set.
Well, that's good.
But it's one. And it's not even one I actually sat down and wrote. It's something that happened. Like, literally, I was in Panama with a buddy of mine. We were down there, and there's all these dead fish in the water. And he's like, "It's like a school of dead fish." And he goes, "What do you mean? Is it still a school? What do you call a school of dead fish?" And just that's what popped out of my head. That's what popped out of my face. And I immediately, like, I covered my mouth. I'm like, that was like, why did I say that? But anyway. that's mine. That's mine. Sophie?
Okay. Sophie, what do you do for a living?
Well, I am a server at the comedy club, and I do administrative tasks for them as well.
She's also a stand-up comic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So. Sophie, what's your worst joke?
Well, I haven't ever, like, featured... I've only ever hosted, so I've never actually walked anybody. But I did have one lady come up to me after a show because she was offended by, I really don't think it's that offensive, but basically I just talk, I'm kind of making fun of kids for a little while, and then I'm like, no, I don't hate kids, truly, I don't. Like,
if you do, it's okay. I mean, I promise, it's fine.
So I'm like,
Brittany's like, I hate my kids sometimes.
No.
Have you ever flipped your kid off behind his head?
Oh my God. You know what? This is terrible. He's fast and I'm slow. So we're at this point where, like, he'll like, "Hey mom, remember the time he flipped me off?" I don't do it on, like, for him to see, but somehow he's seen me do it a couple of times.
Oh man.
And I have to just, I'm just like,
he's
pretty,
he, maybe he hasn't. He's just hedging his bet. He's like, I bet she has. I'll make her feel bad about it.
He totally saw me one time. One time I did get irritated enough that I wanted him to understand the gravity of his smart assness. And I might have flipped him off to his face. But, yeah.
So, Sophie, so what was the worst joke? What was the joke?
It's just, I don't hate kids. So if I ever got pregnant, it would be a really hard time deciding, you know, whether to get an abortion or just start drinking heavily and let the issue resolve itself.
That's terrible. That's awful. Yeah, it's awful. I mean, yeah, no, fetal alcohol syndrome. That's how it resolves itself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Definitely. I know.
Not the way I drink.
No.
Oh, no. Okay.
Sophie's like the final solution. Jeez.
Oh, man.
All right. Yeah, it's there's a lot of stuff when you start talking about kids and people. Although I had a lady walk out at a show in Post Falls, Idaho. I don't really do the jokes anymore because I don't really like to do political humor. Mm-hmm. I did some jokes, not even really like, I wouldn't even say at Trump's expense, just through the prism of, like, hey, like, it's kind of weird with Mexicans right now in America, right? Like, there's kind of, that's a thing. And not even like bashing him, just talking about, like, stuff, right?
Yes.
And this lady stands up, she's like, "If you don't like it, go back to LA," and, like, walks out.
Oh, fuck.
And I was like, I'm like, lady, not all Mexicans in America are from L.A.
Just pulled that out of her ass.
But like, yeah. But I am. So thank you for being a fan and knowing that about me. And then she like flipped me off and left. So yeah.
There was that guy in Montana too, at that small town. He didn't. He stayed and talked after the show.
Was it the one in Polson at the lake show? Where the guy.
Yeah. You don't have to be so political.
Oh, yeah.
Just said that over and over and over.
He was the only guy when I asked him, like, are there any Trump fans in here?
He's the only
He's the only one who raised his hand. And then he's the one who's like, you know, you're pretty funny, but, you know, you probably shouldn't be so political up here. I'm like, why? Because you were the one person who was like... So.
I mean, I think it's one of those things where I always find it interesting because for me, I'm just like, I don't know, you're going to a comic, like, what the fuck do you expect?
Yeah.
Like, somebody's going to say something offensive towards somebody.
Plus, right. Like, if you're embarrassed because you raised your hand, like, there's your sign.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of the name of the game with comedy. You're going to kind of have to ruffle some feathers or you're probably not... Doing it right.
Yeah,
I was talking to someone a while back and they were talking about, you know, people offending people. I'm like, if I'm not offending people in my comedy, I feel like I'm not doing my job correct. Like, it's not my goal to offend you, but it's also to get you out of your comfort zone a little bit, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
We don't need an echo chamber here. Let's push a little. That's fine. So, all right. All right, well, Brittany, you passed. You passed with flying colors. Your buzzer didn't go off, so... all right, Sophie, are you ready to get in this?
Sorry. If it's like being all weird, you can like jiggle it. Sometimes that helps. I don't know.
No, it's good now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, but yes.
So if you're ready to get into the news.
And so we are trying something new.
Can we play your song for us?
Oh, yeah.
And now the Social Hour News with Sophie Tomey.
Did you see the news this week? Yeah, neither did I. It's definitely not because we were drinking and getting high. All the stuff on TV is the same shit, but on a different day. So I found some interesting stories to talk about today. Accuracy not guaranteed, little disclaimer. Guaranteed is news with a little Sophie flavor. So here's the Social Hour News. Without further ado, let's get into all the cool stories that I've gathered just for you.
All right.
That was glorious.
It's all Sophie. Sophie did put that whole thing together. She rocked it.
I was getting embarrassed. Yeah.
She sent it to me one day. She's like, hey, I think I put a song together. Because when she started doing the show with me, I'm like, we need to get a song for you. So she sent it to me. And I'm like, fuck yeah. I'm like, of course that's what we're doing. Like, we did a little production in here with it. We put like kind of put it a little fine tuning on it, but she got the song, did all the lyrics, fucking wrapped it out. The best part about that was we probably did like 4 or 5 takes of it down here. And to give it some thickness, I layered it and put 3 of the takes over each other. Mm-hmm. And it is amazing her timing, how they're like all almost exactly the same. I'm like, goddamn, girl, you got some flow. Like, you're just killing it. Like, everyone are exactly the goddamn same. So. All right. The segment, Sophie.
Okay. Okay, so we're trying something new this week. I took a news article and we Mad Libbed it.
Yeah.
So should I say what the original article was about or should I just say?
Let's do the Mad Lib first, I think would be more fun. And then we can reveal what... the article was. What do you think?
Yes. Okay. That sounds good. Okay. Okay. In a shocking incident. Did I delete part of it? Okay. Well, we're starting partway, I think. In a shocking incident, this dead man jumped right before his funeral ritual in Deese's basement. His grave was dug and his body was about to be poked just when some of the family members noticed a slight screwdriver. The fucking stopped and a bewildered Shot Khan rushed the man identified as Prince to hospital where he was immediately licked. Prince was admitted to a private hospital on June 21 after he slipped. He was declared dead on December 28, 2011, by the hospital and his vacuum arrived at his residence in a Jeep. His elder brother, Stephanie, stated, devastated, we were preparing for the burial when some of us saw movement in his boobs. We immediately took Prince to the Clarence Hospital, where the occupational therapist said he was alive and have put him on chemo. There's three more sentences.
Yeah.
We had paid $22 to the private hospital earlier, and when we told them that we had run out of money, they declared Prince dead. Stephanie added.
God, I'm really curious as to how much. Now I'm trying to remember. Like, okay, keep going. Sorry.
Clarence Chief Medical Officer Diva stated, We have taken cognizance of the incident, and the matter will be majestically probed. The patient is in fabulous condition, but definitely not brain dead. He has pulse, blood pressure, and his toes are working.
All right.
I think that was a typo on their end. I think it's supposed to say he has a pulse, but
well, I don't know. The article was very confusing. So no.
It was.
That sounds like things that have happened in my basement. All right, that was the Mad Libs version of the news article. Sophie, what was the actual news article?
The actual news article wasn't actually that dissimilar from that. Basically, this guy was about to be buried. Right when they were about to put him in the ground, they saw him moving. They took him back to the hospital, and they were like, yeah, he's alive.
Where was this?
I want to say probably somewhere in like Britain or England.
Why?
I don't know how.
Because they say they took him to hospital instead of took him to the hospital.
Oh, very astute, Sophie. That double citizenship is paying off there.
Well, I'm not British.
Well, I know, but you know.
But yeah,
you're European Union, right? You're EU.
EU.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
I think so.
I didn't.
Sweden?
Think it was.
Is Sweden EU?
Switzerland. And
Switzerland?
I truly don't know if they are.
Well, I don't
even
know where you're from
now.
So it turns out I know less than I thought. Is Switzerland EU or are they Switzerland where they're like, are they still like, we're Switzerland?
They're like, we're Switzerland.
Okay. So, you think it was in Britain somewhere? Does the article doesn't say where it originates?
I still have it. I thought I got rid of it, but let's see. So, private hospital accident. Dead on Monday.
It doesn't sound very. That sounds like something that would happen in Russia.
And
it sounds
also
very Russian.
Their real names sound. This, I guess, isn't super indicative of where this actually happened, but it kind of is weird because. When they ran out of money, the hospital declared him dead. And
that seems more like Eastern Bloc Russian type. Like, listen, no money, no fixie.
Oh, so, their names are.
Yeah, it turns out they're dead.
So one of the brother's name. Okay,
go ahead. What's the name?
Muhammad, and then I think this must be somewhere in the Middle East because the chief medical officer's name was Narendra Agarwal. Except for I think there's like I'm making it sound like there's an extra A, but there's not.
Okay. I'll tell you what the. They should have like so you know how much your loved ones actually appreciate you. I feel like at a hospital, there should just be like in like a parking meter. They should have one of those in your next to your hospital bed, and like someone has to just every day come plug that thing with quarters. And like if you're like you see that thing ticking down, and if it you're like, how much? Like I hope I have loved ones, someone coming to visit me today, and like that's. That should be the healthcare system. That's a single payer system. I can get that. So they were just like, he's, you know, money. Turns out he died. They're like, what if we have money? So, why would the hospital take him back? I wonder if he was dead or they if he. I mean, they're like, yeah, but they still don't have money.
Probably like. I mean, that's a lawsuit.
Yeah.
Do they have lawsuits there? Think about how much. I don't think there's lawyers over there.
I don't know why they would fucking take him back or why they would go back to that hospital that fucking declared him dead in the first place.
We have a no refunds or returns policy. Once we declare he's dead, he's dead. Yeah. That well, in most Middle Eastern countries too, if assuming that's where this is from, most of them religiously they have to like be buried within it's like 2 days or something like that, like very quickly. It's not like here in Maryland, like let him hang out for a couple of days, he'll be fine. We'll do it in a couple of weeks. We're busy. We're going to Disneyland
just
next weekend.
His ass.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to take him back. I would probably just be like, I got a better shot in the grave. Like of making it.
Like he was clearly doing fine in the casket if he's moving again. So just leave him there.
Yeah. All right. Let's what else you got?
Okay. So an Alaskan teen murdered her best friend after online catfisher promised her $9 million.
Didn't we talk about this?
Did we?
Wait.
No.
So the person offered to pay her to kill her best friend?
Yeah.
I swear we talked about this. Because we talked about maybe you just brought it up. So
I did name the headline last time, I think.
Oh, and we didn't
And then we talked
it.
About the lady who killed the giraffe.
Because, like, this is okay, that's what happened.
fucking bitch.
We already determined the other day that Alaska is full of criminals.
Oh, yeah.
Like it is. So here let's hear. I've got it right here. Let's revisit our conversation with Harry last week and my stance on Alaska. It's like everyone who lives in Alaska is a criminal. Like, there's no one in Alaska. Like Alaska is the Florida of the Northwest. Like, they're all just criminals and deadbeat dads. You know, no one decides to put their life at risk on a fishing boat for 8 months out of the year. Because they thought it was a great career path. Because they stabbed their fucking counselor in their alternative school. And so I had to like escape to a new life. They're in a bathroom stall at Victoria Island, cutting off their fingerprints and smashing out their teeth. No goddamn dental records.
God damn it. Very specific.
Don't ask any more questions. To me, that's Alaska. It's just like, I've said it once. I've said it a million times. I want to stroll into any bar in Alaska, any time of the year, any time of the day, with like a yellow windbreaker on, and just like start like reach for my wallet and be like, "I'm with the DEA. I'm looking for," and just watch everyone shoulder roll out the window and hop on their ATVs and disappear into the woods.
They would all be on ATVs.
Yeah, that or snowmobiles, depending on the time of year. It's just full of fucking criminals. Like they didn't have a chance to go to like Harvard University, but chose crab fishing. It's because they're criminals. It's true. Anyway, so this girl did. This is we didn't do this last week, so let's do the whole article. What happened?
Okay, so 18-year-old Denali Bremer thought she'd found an easy path to riches when she met a multimillionaire online named Tyler.
Yeah, that sounds made up already. Tyler.
Tyler.
Unlikely. Is this, 1998? Sure, Tyler.
Sure, Tyler. Yeah. What she didn't know was that Tyler was into child porn, not rich, and actually named Darren. the most important fact of this whole situation. Darren. Plus, she's 18. Two R's and it's not child porn anymore.
Darren. So I hold on.
That's fucking terrible.
This is like, so this. They're like, this guy, he catfished this girl into killing her best friend. That's terrible. Oh, it gets worse.
Isn't it? Like, if you're fucking making up something, you're going with the name Tyler.
He panicked.
Of all the names. And he's supposed to be a millionaire?
Yeah.
Tyler the millionaire.
Sure, Tyler. Yeah. What unit is your trailer? Yeah, Tyler's wearing cargo, like camo cargo pants right now.
Crocs.
Yeah. So he's in shocking. The guy who's catfishing people online is into child porn and named Darren. And not actually a millionaire, huh? How did he meet? Has she meet Tyler/Darren?
Let's find out. Should I just keep reading?
Sure.
Okay. Pretending to be a millionaire on the internet might seem like an innocuous, misguided strategy to impress potential love interests.
Also, child porn might seem like a misguided.
Yeah. Also, I don't know what that has to do with getting one person to kill a
someone.
Friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey. Well, it's like, listen. Let me. If on the off chance you're not into murdering your best friend that you've known since you guys were born, how do you feel about child porn? Also, and or it can be an and or situation. They're not mutually exclusive. I'm just saying we've got options here. Okay, so keep going.
According to the Daily Beast, Schimmler, under the alias Tyler and using a fake profile photo, convinced Alaskan teenager Denali Bremer from nearly 4,000 miles away to murder her best friend with the promise of $9 million. On June 14th, a grand jury indicted...
Indicted.
It's a silent C. I'm fucking retarded. Okay?
It's okay.
That is like... Okay.
What?
It's a confusing word when it's written down. Yeah. It is.
And also, I'm angry at this.
It's another fucking English word that makes no goddamn sense when it's spelled out. It's fine.
But it just happens, you learn new things every day, and up until now I didn't. So
that's okay.
I got that in.
Perfect.
So they indicted six people in the killing of 19-year-old Cynthia Hoffman. Police said Bremer recruited four others to help her murder Hoffman.
She got a gang together.
She got a fucking gang.
$9 million.
She probably didn't even tell them about it. They just wanted to kill.
So let me. Yeah, of course. Like she just mentioned it in passing. People are just like kicking in the front door. I heard murder. I don't know you. That's all right. We can bond over killing folk. What does it say? Where? What site these people met on? I assume LinkedIn. I don't know.
LinkedIn.
It doesn't say.
It's a growing social network.
It might say later. But
so what did Tyler/Darren give her a reason as to why she wanted her friend?
That's what
murder?
I want
to
know.
Was she like, hey, who's your best friend? Was it like one of those weird what was that movie where they had to like do. I don't know. I'm not gonna remember. It was a shitty movie. But like, where you have to like do weird crap to get to the next level. Like, hey, murder your friend for $9 million.
Hmm.
Or was it just like, was there a reason? Was
she
like,
would you rather?
Maybe.
I think what she needed some hugs. She needed attention because
that might be enough. And apparently $9 million.
Yeah. Well, he obviously convinced her to kill her friend. He also persuaded her to take sexually explicit images of 8 and 9 year olds. So that's where the child porn comes in. He instructed her to assault a child and send him videos of the deed.
Right. Well,
I'm reading this out loud while I try to find.
I think whatever. Does Alaska have capital punishment? I think like if anyone who's willing to do that stuff, I feel like that was a ticking time bomb.
Absolutely.
It was only a matter of time. Like it could have come down to like $18 and half a Subway sandwich and not the good one, like tuna melt or something. Yeah. She would have done it. She would have done something eventually, you know?
Yes. She has skinned neighborhood cat carcasses.
For sure. Yeah. She walks to school with like broken glass taped around her, her knuckles, duct taped to her knuckles. Cause she wants to fight a pack of wolves. $9 million to kill your best friend. I mean, listen, I'm not doing it for less than 10.
And does she know the other four people? Like, where did they come from? Did she know them personally?
They were like school friends. Wow. That is trust.
Yeah, I don't know if that's what we're calling it.
More like pack mentality. Like, they're bored. It's Alaska, right? Really, really bored.
God. Yeah, their parents are already criminals. So they
come from a long line of criminals. That's true. That is insane.
Years each is what they're getting.
Okay. All right. That's good.
Okay. I'm wondering. So said Pert Darren, he got 99 years?
Did he get it? Darren
is awaiting extradition to Alaska.
So what's the charge, though? Like, what's the official charge when you just ask somebody?
Murder
for hire. That's not murder for hire, technically.
But when you're paying someone to murder someone, it's like these.
But did he pay her? You know how they get strict about that. Like, unless they hand you the money, like, they can't necessarily charge you.
Well, they do have encouraging... There was that girl who was 16 who encouraged her boyfriend to commit suicide. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's something.
There's something there.
Manslaughter.
I don't know. It's got to be worse than manslaughter. Manslaughter is accidental.
There's like different levels.
Manslaughter is generally not. That's not premeditated. Is the definition.
Malicious. Okay. Something. I don't know.
Where's he getting extradited from? Let me guess. Florida.
Probably.
4,000 miles away, huh? That's about Florida. I'm just saying. I really want to know where he was now.
Yeah.
Everything about this. So there's this photo. The caption.
Which? Oh. Okay.
Who's that? That's the guy?
That is Denali Bremmer. That's the girl.
Okay.
So land her in prison for the rest of her life.
Now.
She claimed to regret her actions in a Snapchat video.
So that's an Alaskan 10 right there. It's rough.
Indiana.
Wow. All right. Wouldn't have guessed that. That would have been pretty low on the list of places, I guess. So, all right.
There's everything about this fucking makes me laugh because they like keep doing the rule of threes when describing him. So,
God, how many things does this guy have?
Angel, a fake photo of himself from his New Salisbury, Indiana home. And then this is, he does not look like the young man he portrayed himself to look like.
Clearly.
He is not a millionaire, and he lives in Indiana, the bail memorandum explained.
No way. Oh, wow. You mean he wasn't planning on paying?
And I think, I think that was a guy. My bad. It was a guy. Oh. That's the guy.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's Darren.
This is the girl who did the murders, which, can fucking tell.
I think that's just the same picture with glasses.
She's a killer for sure.
All right. Well,
she looks like annoyed.
Yeah. God, I would like to know. This is where I want to create a reality show called What the Fuck Happened to You? And what we do is we hunt down these people, parents, and just be like, what the fuck happened when you're, you know, where did you go wrong with your kid that at some point they decided it'd be fun to troll someone online and promise them $9 million to murder their best friend? And then we go and visit this girl's parents, be like, where the fuck did it go wrong that your kid went off the rails and was so nuts that decided that they would murder their best friend?
Oh my God. Yeah. It's like that ID show. It's called what is it, like living with a monster or living with something, and they start the show out, the family members, by saying they never would have thought that this person would do that. And then they go through basically like 20 years of foul, crazy, creepy shit that the person did leading up to the crime.
Yeah. And you're like, and you never
and
had
you
a clue?
No red flags.
Gee, you guys need to pay more attention. All right. Let's, so if you got one more, we'll do one more, then we'll get out of here.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I'm going to name three. Tell me which one you want to do more. tourists will be able to submerge 13,000 feet under the sea to the wreckage of the Titanic for $125. Escaped Scientologist sues church for child abuse. And small Norwegian island where the sun doesn't set for 69 days wants to abolish time.
Yeah, I like that one.
I do too.
I hear
That's
about
a good
that
one.
Place.
Yeah.
I also want to go visit there.
Do you?
I don't.
I don't. No.
Well, wait. Norwegian? Is it hot there? Probably not. Never mind. I always think I want somewhere tropical where the sun doesn't go away. I guess I still want nighttime. Never mind. I rescind my statement.
That one just sounds very interesting.
Yeah.
It just sounds really annoying. The first sentence of this, our goal is to provide full flexibility 24/7. If you want to cut the lawn at 4 a.m., then you do it. That doesn't sound like
this
my
sounds
kind
like
of
a hippie.
They basically
commune.
Want everybody to go fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let me get this straight. It's sunny always. People are mowing the lawn any time of the day. There's no drinking law. People are just drunk, whatever. What's the work? When do you go to work?
Anytime, so I guess. So
total chaos.
You can't be late because there's no time. So I guess that would work for me.
This sounds like a bunch of people who smoked salvia and just like fucking created a hippie commune. This is like where the guy who escaped Scientology went and created his own little religion, I think, is what happened.
Their reasoning behind it is so that they can have more time. If you abolish time, you have more time, according to them. So the bombastic idea is the brainchild of Swedish-sounding island. I'm not going to try to pronounce it. Resident, Fjordman. Swedish name, not going to try to pronounce it. Who recently met with a member of the Norwegian parliament to submit a petition that would essentially get rid of time, at least on their little island. You have to go to work, and even after work, the clock takes up your time. Vetting. It starts with an H. Sorry. I've told Gizmodo, I have to do this. I have to do that. My experience is that people have forgotten how to be impulsive, to decide that the weather is good, the sun is shining, I can just live. So they have good intentions. Well, duh, you can't just fucking change that for, like, bad intentions. But so it sounds far-fetched to outsiders, but the residents of there, it's well north of the Arctic Circle, and they have been going on about their day however they want for generations. The petition, he argued, would only put in writing what the townspeople have already been doing for years, and this has a lot to do with how the world's standard time frame applies, or perhaps more fittingly, does not apply in this part of the globe. I think the biggest thing is just dealing with the rest of the world. Like, there has to be,
that's
even
standard.
If they abolish time, like,
yeah,
for
how
the
do
most
they
part on their
they,
island, there has to be
their
still.
Their airport must be a mess.
That's
like,
where
how do you
my
even
mind
know
went
when,
too.
How do you even know when you're catching a flight? I can't even imagine what you how that would work out.
I feel like shoplifting would go up, like, exponentially. Like, you want to go to the store at 8, but nobody's going to come to work till 5 hours later because you're choosing, right?
Yeah, yeah. Is that
your store is going to be empty?
Yeah. How do you know? Like when do you know when you can go to the store?
You don't.
Like, yeah, you
it,
just.
It sounds like they want everything to be impulsive and on a whim. Everybody's
it
gonna
sounds
be
fun, but listen, I read Lord of the Flies. It doesn't end well for anyone.
No.
So.
Okay. Support behind the movement is aptly symbolized by the wristwatches that residents have tied onto the bridge. Oh, I thought that they were saying, like, just to make sure they have I don't know what I thought that they were trying to say.
So you go to the bridge if you want to find out what time it actually is?
Masses of people.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's... All right. Well, sounds like a weird island. I want to go visit,
very weird.
I don't know how to catch a boat because nobody knows when they go there. When do they go there? Fuck you. Who knows? Your guess is as good as mine.
The O with the line through it, how is that pronounced?
No idea. Yeah, okay. I don't know how to describe this. I can only, I don't know how to pronounce it. I should say you can only describe it. B J O line through it R N is pronounced Bjorn. I don't know if I guess that makes Y. J makes the Y. I don't know how to phonetically explain that. I just know that's what happens. So anyway, all right. Well, I think we're probably gonna get out of here. Thanks, Sophie. That was like, let's go to that the weird island. All right, Brittany. Thank you for being here. If you would shout out where people can find your Instagram, Facebook, etc., so they can follow you.
Yeah. So my Facebook is gonna be Brittany Trambitas /artist. If you are on Instagram, it's gonna be B Trambitas, TRAMBITAS _artist. That's where you can look at my stuff.
Perfect. And definitely go check her out first Friday, that is August 2nd at Andy's, and her art will be displayed there all month.
Yes.
And then September 15th at Wiley's. Those are both in Spokane, if you're within earshot of where the show is recorded. If not, come fucking take a visit and check it out. Otherwise, go online, visit her, follow her, check out her art. And I'll hook you up with that shirt girl. Let's make some shirts.
I'll make you a shirt.
And come back in. Thank you very much. It was
thank
great
you
having,
having
you.
Me. Thank you.
I look forward to. I'll come check out one of your shows.
Yes, please.
And let's see. What am I doing? Oh, guys, come to Spokane Comedy Club this weekend, Thursday through Sunday. I will be there Thursday through Saturday. I'll be with Brian Callen. It's gonna be an awesome show. Very much looking forward to that. And then Sunday, I will be with Tony Russell and Michael Glatzmeyer. We will be winning again at the drinking debate because fuck those other teams and those suckers were going to win. So they're fucking bunch of those teams suck. We are going to be reigning champions of the drinking debate again. So come to that show. Also, the 18th, I'll be in Osborne, Idaho, and then 19th back in Lewiston at Shooters. And I'm coming back to Montana. Sophie and I are coming to Montana at the end of the month. So check us out there. We'll be at the Badlander on the 30th. And go to Dee's Comedy /calendar. Check out all the dates. Got lots of stuff coming up. Important, guys. Go. What I need you to do is, if you haven't yet, go to Nearly Famous on Facebook. If you need to look it up, it is Facebook / Nearly Famous Comedy. It's Michael Glatzmeyer and I's page. We've got a ton of dates. We're filling all September through November. We want you to come see the show. So, all right, guys, that's it for the social hour. I am Deese, and for Sophie and Brittany, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys. And now for my weekly apologies. I'd like to apologize to armadillos, Spokane, American flags, Russia, Florida, Walmart, and Old Navy. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we will see you next week.
What do you call a school of dead fish?
A Columbine.
This podcast is a Pants Pending Studios production.
And part of the Pants Pending Studios podcast network.
Find more of our great shows just by searching Pants Pending in your podcatcher.
For more information or to contact us directly, visit us at pantspending.com.
Please subscribe to this show, share it with your friends, like it on Facebook, and rate it on iTunes.
And we thank you for making us a part of your listening day.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending. Studios!